The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 30 of MMA to the Max, the Dirty 30 episode. I am your host, Robert Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Joseph Hudson, a.k.a. Riverside Joe. How you doing on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, Joe?
Beautiful Saturday afternoon it is. We've got... Oh, shit. Sorry, you told me not to do the weather report again. My bad. I'm doing phenomenal. It's a great Saturday down here in Southern sunny Southern California. Well, it's southern twice. I mean, like, we're in the southern part of the... No, whatever.
Well, you're southern to me.
So. That's right. I am southern to you. And so does that mean I grew up in the south? Am I a southerner?
I don't know. Do you have your Confederate flag on the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well...
Dukes of Hazzard 24/7 in my house. Yeehaw!
So, real quick on this episode, this very special episode, for those of you that listen normally... to the audio version, the only version that was available. This episode marks the start of our video production.
Boom. We're high tech now.
At our MMA to the Max YouTube channel. That's where you'll find all of our YouTube videos. We're also going to be uploading them to the Facebook page using the Facebook video upload. So I hope you all enjoy seeing our ugly made-for-radio faces.
Exactly. We put it in so many places you can't hide from it. It's kind of like we're Jason, Friday the 13th. We're walking real slow, but everywhere you turn, there we're going to be.
There we are. But at least now you will be seeing that we are not completely full shit when we are talking about drinking beer during these shows, as co-host is about to pour his.
My Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
Very nice.
Quite
very
a delicious hearty beer. So now, just so you all know, yes, it is a Saturday. There's no timestamp on here. It's about... 1:30.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere,
and we're drinking beer. Why? Because we can,
and because it's the only time of this Saturday that I can drink beer since I have work tonight. Well,
yeah,
tomorrow morning, but I wake up at midnight, so it's whatever.
If this helps you feel any better, when we're done here, I'm gonna do some yard work, do some things around the house, watch Polaris, not just the highlights, maybe just go through, you know, some of the key events.
Well, spoiler
and
alert.
Watch EBI.
Well, actually,
what's that?
You're gonna get spoiled because I was gonna bring that up.
No, damn it!
Just the main event. I caught it. It was real quick.
Was it a good one?
It was a nice minute and a half long scramble and grapple and.
Okay.
But in the end, Craig Jones gets the inverted heel hook submission on Jake Shields.
It was inverted heel hook on Jake Shields.
It was beautiful. Good job, Craig Jones, man. Hashtag jiu-jitsu.
Hashtag jiu-jitsu. Is this what I heard from you? You racist son of a bitch. You do have that Confederate flag up.
Yeah.
No, that's good for him, man. Jake Shields, a phenomenal grappler. I didn't know how that was going to go. I figured he'd end up in top position at some point and try to work to... a power type submission like Kimura or arm lock or something like that. But well,
Craig Jones is one of the best in the entire world, and Jake Shields just wasn't good enough. But either way, that was Polaris. So
yeah, he's good. He's got really good MMA jiu-jitsu and grappling, really good. But when you go up against a straight jiu-jitsu guy, a straight grappler, there's levels to this shit, man.
Yeah, like Frankie Edgar always put it, there are levels to that shit when it comes to jiu-jitsu, just like there are levels to this shit when it comes to MMA. Mm-hmm. And you know who's on a different level than all of his counterparts, at least right now, outside of the UFC?
I think so. I'm getting chills just thinking about my man putting together that beautiful combination, that great setup to get that overhand right. Just nighty night. I think it was more of a cross, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hook to the body with a, and then followed by the cross.
Yeah,
then,
left hook to the body, right cross to the chin, and sat him down.
He went out.
Ooh, it was like full lotus position. He got sat down literally.
Yeah, it was entertaining. So, entertaining scrap leading up to that finish. And in case anybody hasn't figured out who we're talking about yet, it is friend of the show, one of the only double champ, the champ, Jose Shorty Torres, moving to 7-0. 32-1 overall, including his amateur career. That is ridiculously impressive.
Well, also more impressive is that one loss was his first ever fight, an amateur fight, and since then he hasn't lost. He showed why. I mean, that was elite striking. The way he put together his combinations, he gets touched a little bit, but he was staying right at the very end of the punches, so not a lot of damage was happening, just not slipping him quite enough. Probably because his height, you know, he wants to stay in range, but fucking A, did he look good. I mean, training like with he, ATT.
Like he said and, before, and, he has to take one to really know he's in a fight, so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the things is his left eye looks like it's from the previous fight still a little tentative. He got hit there once and swelled up pretty quick. So hopefully between now and his UFC call, he can get some of that scar tissue and all that stuff will fizzle away.
Yeah, because at least my prediction for his UFC call is a little ways away. He's got some time to heal it up, get the scar tissue fixed up. But I'm hoping and predicting that, yeah, they're going to come calling finally for the UFC 225 in Chicago on June 9th.
Oh, yeah.
They have to. Should. I mean, they should. They have to.
It's perfect to get their hometown boys there, right, in Chicago.
Yep.
Get a little CM Punk, right?
CM Punk versus Floyd Mayweather.
Versus Floyd Mayweather. We get Curtis Blaydes back in there, his hometown. Get Shorty on there. You know, get the three Chicago boys.
Yeah, Curtis Blaydes versus Alistair Overeem. I think Overeem will be awake by then. So
maybe he's just gonna get put back to sleep, though. Not necessarily. He's gonna get put on his back and tucked in, at minimum. Once Blaydes gets a hold.
Oh yeah.
Blaydes, how impressed were you with his takedowns on Mark Hunt?
Very impressed, and we'll start talking about that right now, man. Ooh. But before we do, you told everybody what you were drinking, the Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
So good.
Gotta let everybody know what I'm drinking. This is Garage Brewing Company out of the Temecula, California area. Pretty local for me and Joe. Mm-hmm. Cherry Chocolate Stout. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's seasonal, so get it while it lasts, but it's amazing. I wish I had some cordial cherries to pair with it right now. Seems like it'd be perfect. Nice.
Yes. Cherry cheesecake, maybe.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is definitely a dessert stout. I still have to, you know, continuously buy their marshmallow milk stout, which is still so good.
Yeah, I gotta try that one. Unfortunately, everything around me is a BevMo, and after yesterday's adventure in BevMo in South Corona, I am definitely not a fan. I am going to start finding a new liquor store.
Telling you, on your way home from work, Total Wine and More, man. Just.
But that means I won't be able to use the Fast Track if I got to get off in Yorba Belinda and Total Wine. And if I'm not in Fast Track, then I'm not getting home until like 8 o'clock. So.
One night a week. One night.
One night a week. It might be worth it, or just force myself to drive there.
Or just drive out there on a Saturday to the Rancho one.
Yeah, the Rancho one would be bad. Yeah, that's not too bad. I think that's what I'll end up having to do. Or there's a new liquor store out there in Corona that just started following me on Instagram. I should give them a little shout out here. Yeah, that's a lot of work to find them.
Damn it. And we're not going to give them any shout outs. They're not going to give us anything. So
they gave me a like.
Oh, well, all right. Well, there you go. So that's
Mr. G's Liquor Junior Market on 6th Street in Maine.
Well, all right. Well, there we go.
No, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and be like, hey, you guys liked me on my podcast. And, you know, I can give you some plugs if you can cut me some deals on some beer. I don't know if they can give it away.
Yeah, they can't. Since they buy it, they just lose complete money, I guess, in that.
Well, you can look at it like it's, you know, advertising fees.
Yeah, but I'd rather get a brewery. So
I'd rather get Stone Brewery. Speaking of just weird tangent, talking about beer, did you see the new Keystone labeling campaign? Keystone now is a big blue can that says Keystone Light Beer on it. So you look at the side and it says Stone.
I'm sorry. I forgot what kind of show we're doing here. Why the hell are we mentioning Keystone?
Because they're trying to piggyback off of Stone Brewery. Like, they're totally trying to market off everything that Stone Brewery has done as being like one of the premium, you know, microbrew type beers. We talk about beer, man. Now we talk about the law, too.
Yeah, but we talk about beer. Keystone is not beer.
it's barely water. They're trying to sell out that they're Stone. They've got that whole Stone thing.
I get what you're saying. That's just
they're trying to piggyback. I'm usually like, whatever, it's fair is fair, but I think they're totally trying to do that shit and confuse people. But one taste, and you'd be like, there's nothing Stone about this beer.
Yeah, no, because Stone Brewery is one of the better breweries out there. Then again, Garage is...
Oh, Garage is phenomenal.
Yeah, really creeping up.
I had their oatmeal stout last weekend. Really, really good. Really good. I just can't get the marshmallow. They don't have that at the BevMo.
Well, Total Wine and More. As much as I keep pimping them on Instagram and everything, shouting them out, they need to start giving me a little follow and and like, well, and maybe discounts. I'll have to talk to the manager.
You need to be proactive.
I go there every Friday and stock up. I mean, he might as well just hook me up somehow.
You're like, dude, this is where I'm at for my show every week. I can, you know, throw a plug out there. What's it worth to you guys? Right. But now that you're going to be staying up in Victorville for your route, is there a Total Wine near you up there?
I gotta go down the hill. I am still gonna go down the hill, so it's okay though. I'll figure it out. That's good. Anyways,
MMA podcast. Right?
Enough talking and all that. I have a slight echo in my headphones. I hope I'm not screwing everything up again. We did have an awesome episode recorded last Monday with guest Derek Bowe, and
such a good episode. Gold.
We struck gold, and I screwed up, and I'm hoping I didn't make the same mistake. I definitely didn't make the same mistake, but I won't know until the end.
That's the fun part about this, right? It's like, starts out great, and it goes to shit, and this is episode 30 redo.
Yeah, this is 30.5.
We don't want to have a 30.75.
And we're not like the UFC. We're just not going to just skip it and forget that 30 existed.
Yeah, exactly. We can turn it into a fight night.
Yeah, no shit, right? Oh, man. Damn, that was gold. Yeah, don't worry. We're going to back on and we're going to eclipse gold, man. We're going to make platinum. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Even though we're a week behind now on it's fine. We can still talk about UFC 221 real quick. Let's talk about some of the main fights before we... Well, fuck. There's no other fights. Fights tomorrow. We could just talk about UFC 221. That's what this episode
is. We could talk about UFC 221. We talk about Bellator's a fun show last night. A good fight.
Yeah, so. We talked about Shorty 7-0, which was an awesome finish. Let's get into it, dude. Main event, UFC 221 interim middleweight championship. For only one person.
Was it?
For only one person. For only one person.
It was a catchweight fight. It was a catchweight fight.
But Luke Rockhold was still eligible to win. So, like I said, for one person, Yoel Romero
in the fight. Yeah.
Obliterates Rockhold in the third round by exploiting his biggest defensive deficiency, which is keeping that lead left hand up.
That. And moving straight backwards.
Or I'm sorry, no lead circling. Right hand. Lead
yeah,
right
his right. It, yeah. It's his lead right because he's a lefty, southpaw. But he moves straight backwards with his chin up. And that's exactly with that hand down. And that's exactly what Bisping capitalized on. We talked about that before, how he was throwing that left hook like nobody's business until he finally called it out.
Yeah, finally landed. Fight.
Yeah. And in this one, though, again, I'm not a Romero fan. If you listen to the previous episode that is lost to history, I get
only
quite deep
into it. One person's heard that episode, and he was on the show.
He was on the show. Again, personally, I don't think Yoel Romero is a bad person, but I think he truly tries to blur the lines between cheating and mistakes and stuff like that. And you can look back at Stuhlgate. That was one. Chris Weidman, he did something similar to get a little extra breather, spilling water, you know, all sorts of things that are putting waters on his ankles and all that. So to slip off the ankle pick, they're always going to try to find a way to gray the black and white lines. That's how I feel about Romero and his team. But all that said, he looked phenomenal against Luke Rockhold. That double jab setup to get Luke to throw the counter overhand right, and then he just snuck his left hook in there. I don't know a human being on earth that stands up after that. That was wicked bad.
People
wicked bad.
Racing up and down the street. What the hell?
Uh-oh.
Where's a good cop when you need one? But yeah, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, but again, he set up that double jab, which caused Luke to try to throw the overhand right counter, the front right check hook, and then he mm-hmm. stepped right in with that his own left hook underneath inside Rockhold and put a hurting on his chin. And then when Rockhold went down with his back against the cage, clearly knocked out, but Romel just ran that uppercut right and smashed poor Luke's little face, man.
Which is funny because that uppercut was still way more okay than the one that Dan Henderson threw at Bisping, the forearm that he was clearly out of. Yeah, because Rockhold was still moving, but he was done. Bisping was in some other universe.
Yeah, he was daydreaming about unicorns and fairies. Boom!
And, just Rockhold's going to move up to 205, he was talking about before the fight, and while I think that the lack of a big weight cut is going to help his chin, it's not going to help it enough to make up for his lack of defense when it comes to circling and backing up. He never keeps that lead hand up, which is completely open for that overhand. Like Bisping exploited, Branch exploited, Romero now exploited. He's going to get exploited, especially by some of the better strikers in the 205 division, like a Gustafsson, a Glover Teixeira.
I mean, and they hit harder.
Yeah, and they hit harder, exactly. Even a Volkan Ozdemir. So a Jimmy Manuwa, they're all going to be able to exploit that technical flaw, because I don't care who you're training with. He's been training with Henry Hoof. You think he would be working on that, but it's ugly head again, man. So I don't know. I still think Luke is probably the most talented fighter in the middleweight division and maybe one of the most talented in all of MMA. Unfortunately, that one technical deficiency is going to cost him a lot.
It's a big one. If he had a Gaethje-type granite chin, it would be another story. Nothing would have kept you alive after that Romero hook that landed either way. But
that's true.
Maybe Bisping wouldn't have knocked him out. And Branch isn't super heavy-handed. Branch hits okay hard. You know, not a crazy heavy hitter. And Branch rocked him a couple times. The same thing. Back and straight up, chin in the air, and his left hand or his right hand down.
Yeah.
Susceptible to that left hook or left cross, just coming right onto that chin, hitting the button.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So, 205, yes, it'll help his chin. He won't be as sucked in. It'll help his energy. Maybe he can start quicker instead of starting so goddamn slow. But I think his chin is slightly suspect.
Yeah, well, I think that has a lot to do with the weight cut as well, so we'll see. And not to mention, I mean, get hit like that by Yoel Romero, I don't care who you are.
No, you're going it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's putting heavyweights. He's wobbing a heavyweight's legs with that shot. That was so much power. It got so explosive.
Yeah, it was so perfectly set up in time, too. So, I mean, speaking of heavyweights, though, co-main event, Curtis Blade. Curtis Blades. I forgot the S. I don't know why.
So good.
Yeah, he gets out of a scary first round. And then goes on to completely dismantle and dominate Mark Hunt. A lot of people online, a lot of people Twitter, on Facebook and everything, called it dry humping, but
no dry humping about
those
it.
Those were just real big Mark Hunt fans because he was beating on Mark Hunt. It wasn't as bad as what Stipe did to him.
No,
Stipe
not at all.
Stipe was way more experienced than Curtis Blades, who's still very raw. And he still managed to take out a very experienced veteran in Mark Hunt. And outside of getting caught in the first round and showing a great chin and great recovery, absolutely dominated, into the fact that two judges gave him that first round, which I completely disagree with. But
disagree with it entirely, but
yeah. But either way, I mean, he 29-27 was the way to go. One judge had it completely right, and it was going to happen. I mean, he was getting the win. So what do you think about Blades' performance? What do you think's next for him? What do you think's next for Mark Hunt, man?
So for Mark Hunt, he's got, I think, one more fight on his contract, and he wants done with the UFC. And so he's going to fight, I don't know, someone else next that the UFC needs to use Mark Hunt's name to market like they did with Blades here. Mark Hunt's got a huge name. Blades is great, doesn't have a name. Let's, you know, build off that. They're going to give him another heavyweight who's an up-and-comer, who's probably going to be a striker to at least let Mark Hunt go out on his shield, and then he's done in the UFC. Curtis Blaydes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Mark Hunt should be done, period, to be honest.
He's probably going to end up going to kickboxing of some sort, is what I'm imagining. K1's obviously out, but Glory, Lion Fight, something. I don't see him staying in MMA because he's not going to Bellator. He's not going to stay in the UFC. Oh. I don't know.
The mail.
Oh, the mailman.
Sorry. It's just I see shit in front of the house. So go ahead. My bad, man.
Distracted.
No, I've been up since 11 o'clock last night working, man. I'm tired.
I want to see Blaydes versus Ngannou.
You know, we saw that once, and that was Blaydes' debut in the UFC, and I believe it was Ngannou's second UFC fight. And Blaydes was troubling Ngannou with the jab.
Like, very much.
Heavily troubling him with the jab. And Blaydes, I mean, I had him up on the fight. It was close. I mean, he was taking a lot of the heavier shots, but he was still tagging Ngannou a lot. And
he was landing on more volume.
Mm-hmm. Kind of ruined everything. But yeah, I don't know if I'm down with him and Ngannou right now, because Ngannou just came off the title fight, and you still want to try to build him up. And you don't want to do that at the expense of another challenger like this, like somebody who has momentum. So that's why I'm thinking Blaydes and Overeem. Now, you can take somebody like Ngannou and put him up against a Junior Dos Santos when he gets back. Put him up against even a returning Cain Velasquez. Now, I know that kind of goes against what I said about, you know, you want to build them back up, but Cain coming off an injury, you know, either you got two storylines you could build off of that. You could build Cain's big return. Is he healthy? Is he still the Cain of before? And then you got Ngannou being tested against, you know, somebody with wrestling, who somebody's going to clinch and test his cardio. And if he knocks out Cain, like, or finish Cain even, that people have always finished Cain when he's come back from injuries, then you kept him up there. You kept him built.
Yeah, it's either you're letting him down and building Cain back where he needs to be, or you're building off of Cain's name.
Yep.
I love Cain Velasquez. We got into a nice fun debate with our boy Derek on the Unsung Unheard episode. But Cain Velasquez might not be a GOAT in my mind, because I think longevity and durability is part of what goes into that. But not to say that aside, he is one of the best heavyweights to ever fight. Yep. That you can't take away from him.
No, easily. But
the injury prone, and I mean, he's got a cage around his spine now. Like, what mobility, momentum changes? Because he did a lot of twisting and torquing and leaning into the guys on them and putting all that muscle pressure, using his back. I mean, I don't know, man. I'd love to see him super back. But
and to me, yeah, I mean, Stipe's the GOAT. I mean, Fedor has the argument still, just for the simple fact that he was undefeated all those years and managed to take out some of the top fighters in Pride. Or I should say all the top fighters in Pride. But there's question marks still. How was the testing in Pride?
Oh, I can tell you. There wasn't any. Yeah. It's written in your contract.
Yeah, exactly. How was the testing in Pride? Then you look at how tested. How he looked when he came to America. Yep. And I know he was, you know, they're saying he was old. He wasn't that old. He was like 32, 33 when he came over to Strikeforce. And he fought Brett Rogers. And Brett Rogers was tagging him. Brett Rogers was tagging him. Brett Rogers. And Fedor was having trouble, but he caught that overhand and put him down. Like, but you kind of saw the cracks in the armor there. It was like, oh, wait a second now. So
yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I was watching the Brett Rogers fight. I'm like, Brett should not be piecing up Fedor. He should not. Fedor should be just walking through his head, slipping every punch. But he looked battle fatigued, and he went from being on the top of the mountain, took a little time off to get negotiated contracts, over to Strikeforce, and he's back down at the bottom getting pieced up by Brett Rogers, who's not a horrible fighter, but he's definitely not a tier 1A fighter.
No, I'm listening. I'm just trying to get a service here. I left the bottle on the counter.
Oh, you need to get bottle service?
Yeah, I need to get the rest of this cherry chocolate into my glass. It's empty.
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to do that because I've got my last bit of my chocolate stout and it's going down so good.
So good.
After I drink this wonderful beer, I'm going to have to go do some yard work.
I am going to have my 10-year-old bring me the bottle.
Well, that's good. That's what they're for, right? That's why we have children.
The beer wench.
That's right, to bring us our beer and what have you.
So moving on from the heavyweights from Mark Hunt, you know, we think his career is pretty much done in the UFC, like you said, one fight. The new Mark Hunt, at least the UFC hopes he's the new Mark Hunt. Tai Tuivasa looked absolutely incredible again in the UFC. I mean, his debut, he had that incredible flying knee knockout, which is really nice for somebody of his size. Not just a heavyweight, but a heavyweight that doesn't look like he's in the greatest shape. Obviously he is, but
yeah.
And here he comes, man. Elbows. Obviously, Silver Asker.
Yeah.
Getting tongue twisted. He was set up to make Tuivasa look good. And he did.
He did his job, dude. What bugged me about that, man, is that guy was out on his feet for a while.
Yeah, it should have been stopped. Part
of what determines whether or not a referee stops a fight is intelligently defending yourself. I think it was about 218 at the first round. I think somewhere around 90 seconds of the first round, his ability to intelligently defend himself went away. Cheers. So, yeah.
Sees it.
Tuivasa looked great. There's the delicious chocolate. Right
there. Yeah, he looked great. And, I mean, hopefully they slow burn him more than they did with Ngannou. Obviously, Ngannou passed the test of Overeem.
Sure did.
But, I mean, it was a little too early in his UFC career for that. This is all I have left of that bottle, so. It's whatever.
Well, I hope you have another one when that's done. What are you going to do? Go to bed before work?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, Tuivasa looks good. Slow. Again, we talked about this before. We need to not Sage Northcutt these fighters and just throw them to the wolves right off the bat because they're marketable or they've got something. And then we don't need to MVP them either where we give them a bunch of, you know, empty cans, 10 empty cans. It's like then you lose interest. You've got to properly build them, give them guys that they should be able to beat. Yeah, you know, give them guys where it should be, you know, 10-1 odds. And the next guy should be an 8-1 favorite, you know, then a 6-1, then a 4-1, you know, and then, okay, this is a close fight. Build them up that way. Don't just throw him to the wolves right now.
And, I wonder if that's something that has to do with, like, MVP himself. Because Scott Coker was really good about progressing his fighters over in Strikeforce. I mean, Woodley, before he fought Marquardt for the title, you know, he was fighting people like Paul Daly. He was fighting the Jorge Masvidals, you know? But he was built up to that. And then, obviously, Marquardt, who looked the best he's ever looked in his 170-pound debut, you know. But
he looked like he was 260 pounds when he walked into that circle, cage.
Yeah, Coker was good at building stars back in Strikeforce. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why. He's building a star, at least MVP's. MVP's name's getting – but he's not building his credibility. Like, that's what I'm trying to say is he was always able to build stars with credibility in Strikeforce, and I don't get why he's having so much trouble doing it in Bellator.
It could be a few things. It could be that MVP isn't wanting to take certain fights, or Tin Cans are the only people who are willing to try to make a name off of his name, and anyone who's got any kind of ranking or you know, is above him is like, I'm not going to fight. That's too dangerous for me to fight someone of his skill level. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of, but I don't know. There's a lot of guys in Bellator at the 170-pound division that can beat MVP. Paul Daly being one of them, and that seems to be a fight that MVP has been dodging.
Yeah, I mean,
Douglas Lima, Rory McDonald, Lorenz Larkin would be a good fight. That would be a one where I would put Lorenz as a favorite, a slight favorite.
Lorenz as a favorite over almost anybody.
Yes, but Lorenz is gonna stand and strike with him, and Lorenz is gonna mix it up, and he's not gonna get blown away by those flashy moves. I think that would be a good fight. If you want to believe that MVP has anything to do with anything. I mean, otherwise, I don't know who you give him. Who's the old welterweight champ?
Flamenco? As soon as MVP crushed Cyborg's face in and did the Pokemon celebration, I you know, I was already a fan, but I became a fanboy after that. Just that was amazing. Mm-hmm. So, as much as I will deride the fact that he is getting fed cans, and he does need to step up and get like a step up in competition, I'm gonna be a fanboy of him, and no matter what, anyways.
Yeah, I like to watch him fight. He's always fun and exciting and flashy and all that stuff. But I thought the matchmaking against Cyborg was a good one because Cyborg's jiu-jitsu pedigree, but his takedowns, his inability to get inside and get that takedown, and that poorly timed single leg, which ended with a flying knee to the fractured skull.
It was a good test regardless because, I mean, Cyborg is the consummate journeyman in MMA.
Yeah.
And I guess in pro wrestling terms, he's the jobber to the stars. but he did give Nick Diaz a bit of trouble back in Strikeforce when they fought, and
he did.
So I mean, even on in the jiu-jitsu scrambles. So I mean, yeah, he was a good test. MVP passed it with flying colors. I guess one could say he crushed it. He crushed the competition.
You. Knocked the head off of this thing.
But yeah, no, he needs to step up. And from what Paul Daly's been saying on his Facebook page, that he's got one fight coming up, and then he's got MVP in July.
Hopefully.
Signing some contracts.
He says he's done with Bellator, and I think that it would be wise of the UFC to bring him over.
I would love to talk to Paul Daly and ask him, would he even do it?
He said he would.
Did he?
Not, I remember not he was... so many words. He was on Ariel Helwani's show last week. Mm-hmm. He basically hinted to, yeah, I'd go to organizations I fought for before.
Yeah, but with Dana there, I mean, I personally think the time has passed. Yeah, let him back in.
Yeah, I agree.
Josh Koscheck was a cock.
Josh Koscheck deserved to be hit after the bell. Yeah. Well, he is a dickhead.
He deserved to be hit after the bell on the streets, not under sanction of a commission. Yeah,
correct.
For sure.
Correct. Not
Daly,
not
that Daly did what everybody wanted to do. Just in the wrong at the wrong time. So.
And I think it was a Herb Dean was a ref. He threw his right hook up and over Herb Dean too. It was kind of a bit of a sucker punch. But anyways, I don't blame him. Koscheck is known for being a complete asshole. So.
Yeah, but I do blame him because you do have to be professional. But yeah, I get it though. I blame him, but I get it. It's, you know.
Yeah. On a similar note, I know we go on tangents and sides. I think Jason High being kicked out of the UFC was far more egregious. Paul Davis, because he attacked a referee. He went after and shoved a referee. Then, sorry, I don't want you in my organization, buddy. Here's your walking papers. Now, I think time has passed. I think Jason's paid his dues if you want to bring him back. But
True.
I don't know where he is right now.
I'm not a fan of the lifetime bans. I mean,
correct.
You're stifling A, competition, B, talent, and C, potential stars. Paul Daly is a potential star.
100%. He's got the attitude. He's got the attitude. He's got the ability. He's got the mouth, and he's got the ability. He's a good fun striker.
And with WMEIMG, aka what they changed it starts with a V.
I don't want to say Venture something. But
I think it is Venture.
Venture. Yeah.
Yeah, Venture. But anyways, with them in charge now. Oh no, it's not Venture. And Endeavor.
Endeavor. There you go.
Yeah. With them in charge now, and they're looking to recoup that 4.2 or 4.3, whatever it was, billion dollars that they lost in purchasing the UFC. And, you know, immediately after they purchased it, Conor pretty much gone from UFC fights. You know, they're looking for stars. They lost Rousey. They lost Conor. Brock Lesnar.
John Jones.
For the most part. GSP's not there. He came back for one fight. You're just... I could see them telling Dana White, like, we don't give a fuck what kind of issue you have. We get it.
Oh, yeah.
But we need our money back, bro. And this guy could be somebody we can use to get fans in our European shows, like Bisping. Because Bisping's about to go. And Bisping's a draw
about to go.
In Europe. It's a big draw.
Especially
you need somebody to take over for that. I mean, honestly, I don't think anybody's ready to take over for that. I mean, there's a couple guys out there. I mean, but they're not Bisping levels. Hell no.
No, they're not the same kind of draw at all. But mentioning superstars, slow rolls, not Sage Northcutting people. There's another gentleman on this same card.
What do you mean by that, Mr. Hudson?
Mr. Hudson. Oh, dude, we got to interview him. I just wanted to call Mr. Hudson so bad. Oh, well, gee, shucks, Mr. Hudson. Yeah, I had a great time. I went in there and I punched that guy in his face and I made his nose bleed. Oh, shucks, Mr. Hudson.
It's so funny hearing him say Mr. Faber. oh yeah, Mr. Faber showed me all this stuff. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'd like, and I don't think it's fake either.
No, I don't believe it is either. That's who he really is. And then people who were over polite and fake, John Jones, right? So we've got all these things kind of tying into. I'm jumping way down the card here, but Israel Anastasia, I never said his name right. Adesanya.
Israel Adesanya. Oh yeah, the mini John Jones.
Not Jones.
Yeah, mini Jones, man.
What do you want to say about his performance at his UFC debut?
I want to say it was fantastic. At the same time, could have been better because I know his style. We both know him. We both know his style. We both seen him, and it's like he's capable of so much more. But at the same time, 12 wins, 12 knockouts in MMA while juggling a kickboxing career.
Yeah.
With 50 wins, 5 losses. I mean,
UFC striking is not on his level.
It's not. The only person that comes close to striking level in the UFC fights a division higher in Gohan Saki.
Gohan Saki, yeah, I would agree. And Gohan Saki's debut was good. I expected a little bit more from him sooner. But Anasazi, damn, I'm just calling Israel. Is he?
Adesanya.
Adesanya, his again, working the body. MMA fighters rarely work the body. And I'm not sure if that's because fear of a takedown or head kick. I don't know what it is, but kickboxers work the body. Boxers work the body, but MMA fighters rarely do.
Yeah.
And when you see him going back, we talked about with Shorty, work the body to the right cross, you know, the left hook to the body, the right cross. Like, working the body is so crucial, and I don't see guys doing it enough.
And it's starting to become more prevalent in MMA.
It is.
Nowadays, but it wasn't for the longest time. So, yeah, but it's still, you don't see really good body work on a consistent basis where you definitely should, especially in 5-round title fights. I mean, this was a 3-round fight, but you would think you'd see it in a 5-round title fight. Even Stipe Miocic wasn't even doing too much body work, at least striking. He would get Ngannou down and then knee him in the body and all that. But standing up, he wasn't doing too much striking work, which probably was for the best. He didn't want to get caught. So
keep the hands up. Keep them up as high as you can.
But Adesanya, man, that is one of those guys we were talking about. He's a star in the making. If they just slow burn him, I know he's got that kickboxing pedigree, and he's 12-0, 12 knockouts in his MMA career. I'm pretty sure he's never even seen the third round. He's got the coolest nickname ever in the last style bender.
The last style bender.
Not like the last airbender, but I mean,
he
changed it up because, and if anybody out there saw this guy fight on the UFC prelims on Fox Sports 1 and has never seen him fight before that, go search his fights out because this guy makes what Anthony Pettis used to do look like child's play.
Oh yeah, Anthony Pettis is an elite striker, and he makes Anthony, again, there's levels to this shit. There's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and then there's fucking black belts. You know, there's
a
whole
other
level.
Stylized fighting, like his spins, his technique, the things he's able to do is ridiculous. So check him out, like look him up, Israel Adesanya. Look him up, last style bender. If they slow burn this, if they play it right, I know he's calling out everybody at the top already. But
sure, that's what you're gonna do.
Yeah, you have to. He's braggadocious, and I love it because he's braggadocious without being condescending or irritating.
He's not doing Colby Covington playing a heel type of forced asshole. Colby might be that kind of asshole in real life. That's all fine. But
yeah, maybe he's just being himself now. But
yeah, X-Pac heat.
I don't like assholes. I don't like assholes. I mean, I don't mind cocky people. I'm a cocky guy myself. Have no reason to be.
Yeah, you can all see.
But you know, cocky people are exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's fun because they're going to do what they said they're going to do. They get out there, and when they're doing it, that was the thing again. It, not saying Conor McGregor is the only one to do it, but he's the best to have done it in mixed martial arts. He's right on that same level because he's brash.
It got overbearing for me for a long time. Oh, yeah.
Sure. It's just like anything else. Too much of any shtick. I mean, that's why in wrestling, in pro wrestling, you turn heel, you turn face. You got to go back and forth. That's why they write those storylines to go back and forth, because just healed all the time. You're like, dude, whatever, I get it.
Yeah.
But oh wow, you're turning face on us now. Then you kind of get excited and you start to like them, and then they turn heel on you again. Maybe that's what Connor's doing. Maybe he's turned heel on everybody. He was kind of an anti-hero for a while there. Now he's just the anti, and then maybe when he does come back to the UFC, he looks great. We all love him again.
He ain't coming back to the UFC, man. So I'm still sticking by that prediction. I'm still sticking by it.
It's hard for me to argue against
especially
it.
Especially when the report's coming out that Zuffa, whatever, WME is going to use boxing as a lifeline.
Well, are they really using it as a lifeline, or is it just part of their whole package of combat sports? I don't believe they're trying to use boxing as a lifeline, because you can't be Johnny come lately in boxing. All the boxing money makers are long time boxing promoters or shit like that. They're not going to just come in and start making money from it. Because who do they have in their staple? Who are they going to have that's going to be a draw?
Well, they could just sign other boxers. I don't know, man. I don't know what their plan is. I'm just saying that's what the report came out. I didn't really read it. I saw the headline because I don't give a shit.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, you know, I know. Speaking of boxing real quick, just want to give a quick shout out to Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
Completed his final boxing fight, his retirement fight. It was shown on UFC Fight Pass. Looked great, especially for a man his age. Dude, Roy Jones Jr. is an absolute legend. If you don't know boxing, you at least know the name Roy Jones Jr. And
y'all must have forgot.
Yeah, right. Hey, best of luck to that man in his future. Damn, he looked good though. He went out with the win in his career. Went out with the win.
Yeah, obviously not the old Roy Jones Jr. But
of course,
again, talk about tin cans. He fought himself a decent little tin can there, and put on a fun show. And he'll come back out of retirement for one fight and one fight only.
The Silva fight? Silva. Do you think that's still going to be on the table? I mean, the Silva's looking at a hell of a sanction.
It could be an exhibition fight. That'd be the only way it could happen.
That's true.
But
that's true.
Who's gonna show that?
But I don't know about that, man. Last time I saw an exhibition fight, I saw a black man die. The Russian just would not stop.
He wouldn't stop.
He just wouldn't stop.
He wouldn't stop.
And they kept saying, "Throw in the towel. Throw in the damn towel."
Why didn't they throw in the towel? They couldn't find it.
I don't know why Rocky didn't throw in the towel, man. Fucking idiot.
He can come back, ignorant.
I don't know if anybody's. I mean, obviously, everybody's seen Rocky IV, but I'm sorry. Apollo's death is 100% on Rocky.
Yeah, his corner should have stopped the fight.
Yeah, Rocky had the towel. His corner was saying throw in the towel, and Rocky didn't do it.
100% on Rocky. Should have thrown in the towel. Could have gone in there and double leg Drago and been like, "Hey, stay off somebody's exhibition."
Man. Yeah.
Just for fun.
That is 100% Rocky's fault. Apollo's death is 100% on Rocky.
Well, that's why the new movies, he's trying to give Creed something, give something back to his old buddy that he let die.
Yeah, there you go. So let's switch off of the UFC 221, because we had a great conversation with you, myself, Derek.
It was a really good goddamn conversation.
About this pay-per-view and all that. And
But before we jump off it, I want to make one honorable mention. Alexander Volkanovski.
Oh, impressive. Jesus. Yeah,
very Khabib-ish, like top control, ground and pound, and he beat the fucking brakes off Jeremy Kennedy, and Kennedy is no slouch on the ground, and he just put him on his back and beat the
He beat him worse than Russia beat USA at hockey in this Winter Olympics. So
yeah, he beat the brakes off him.
Had to say the quotes for Russia, because it's Russia, but it's not Russia.
Not Russia. It's the Olympic team made up of people who got caught cheating
on the Russian Olympic hockey team.
hashtag Russians don't use steroids.
Yeah. It's like hashtag, right? Hashtag Putin threatened the team to take a dive.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Anyways.
Like you froze there, but the plant was swinging in the background. I'm like, what's going on, like, dude? Yeah.
By the way, everybody.
Yes.
That is an autograph right there.
Autograph.
Dillashaw.
Ooh, the one, the only?
The one and only. That was when he challenged Hennenbrow for the interim. No, that was the legit at the time. The UFC World Bantamweight Championship, and put on the most inspiring performance I've ever seen, aside from Randy Couture versus Tim Sylvia.
Oh yeah, dude, he beat the shit out of him. So that was a fun one. Beat up the giant. Yeah. But I like that one. I remember
nobody thought Dillashaw was going to win that. I mean, everybody was rooting for him and hoping he'd win, but nobody thought he was actually going to beat Burrell at that time.
Burrell was unbeatable in 10 years or some bullshit, dude.
Looking like a beast, and Dillashaw said, nope. So
said, I'm not afraid of you, bro. Right? I'm going to high kick you into oblivion and punch the shit out your face.
That fight was over from the start as soon as you dropped him.
Yeah.
Anyways, anyway, Volkanovski, dude. Oh, God, that guy's a beast.
Keep like an eye on that guy.
I'm not sure if he does train with another top featherweight. We had this discussion with Derek. Zabit. Magomed Sharipov. I don't think they train together, but they're from the same location. Yeah, they don't. Sharipov trains with Frankie Edgar and Thomas River. But just try to keep those guys apart for as long as possible. Because
don't kill the contender till they're up there.
Exactly. Don't do that.
That'll be a good fight. I'd put my money on Volkanovski right now. Now we've been high on Zabit. I know.
I was gonna say just call him Zabit because you could never get his last name.
I wasn't even gonna try. But I just think he'll be able to get him to the ground, and though Sharapov's Zabit's jiu-jitsu is really good. I just don't know if he's gonna be able to withstand that top pressure. But it's a fight we will see in a couple years, I hope.
Yeah, eventually, hopefully for the title, for the featherweight championship.
That'll be fun.
So, moving on real quick from UFC 221, let's talk about a couple fights from Bellator 194, including the main event.
Yes.
Second fight? Yeah, second fight of the first round of the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix, a rematch from their fight in the UFC where Roy Nelson knocked out Matt Mitrione in the first round. So, Roy Nelson, Matt Mitrione, number two. You can hear the dogs in the background. I'm sure going crazy.
I just heard him bark about something. But how did you score that fight?
I had it 29-28 Mitrione. I didn't think the first round was enough to give a 10-8 to Roy Nelson. So,
no, I didn't think so either. Yeah. I had it 29-28 Mitrione.
Yeah, it was clear, and the crowd booing and Roy Nelson like just showing disgust and distaste for the scorecard. I get it. Yeah. It was a close fight. You thought you won, but I mean, encouraging the crowd to boo and everything. Just I thought it was clearly Mitrione's fight.
Yeah, even if it wasn't a robbery. It wasn't a robbery. It was a close fight. I thought Mitrione had it the same way the judges had it. 29-28. Mm-hmm. All day long.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the second Bellator event in a row where the crowds are booing the winner. I'm beginning to question the intelligence of the average Bellator fan. Well, honestly, what was there to boo about?
I wouldn't even call
it
the average Bellator fan. I would say the average UFC fan nowadays. I mean, like at least the casual.
Yeah, what did they want to see differently? It was a good stand up fight, great ground fighting, ground and pound control.
Yeah, Mitrione touched him up on the feet, man. He busted him. He had him nice and bloody. So
yeah, it was a good fight. It wasn't the greatest fight, but it was a good fight. I'd have been happy if I'd have paid $100, $200 for tickets to that fight. Like it would have been worth it. It was a good fight. It was a good card. So fuck these crowds. And the reason I say the average Bellator fan is because it's two Bellator events in a row where they behaved in this fashion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Booing Lawrence Larkin for what? Putting on a great show?
They got people they want to see win. And I mean, I think they wanted Nelson to win. I mean, so bullshit. Don't know what to say. In the co-main event, though, Patricky Pitbull, once again, absolutely craps all over Derek Campos. there's no other way to put it. Campos, I mean, dude, he just shows that he's terrible. On an entirely different league from Campos. I mean,
yeah.
And he's looking. He's making his way towards a title shot. In my mind, I would not mind seeing him and Michael Chandler go at it again after Chandler beats Brent Primus. I'm sorry, if he beats Brent Primus, it is MMA. Anything can happen. I'm not going to just go there. I do think he does, but stranger things have happened. So I would not mind
Primus
seeing
beat him once.
That's yeah.
Primus damaged his leg.
Yeah. I would love to get I forgot his name right now, but the manager, the owner, the operator of Iridium Sports who manages Brett Primus on the show.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'd like to see Patricky face the winner of that fight, that title fight.
Yeah, so, that'd be a good spot for him. I like to see him there. He belongs there. It'll be fun.
I mean, I think, I think Chandler.
Keeps the belt. Yeah, Chandler keeps the belt, or he gets the belt back, and I think he keeps it for a while.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Also on that card, who was it? Nogueira got stopped. Nemkov leg kicks.
Liam Nogueira, the former 205-pound champion of Bellator, formerly undefeated, has just been on a downfall, and it's been ugly. I don't know how else to put it, man. It's just 6'6", 205 pounds. Like, that's a hell of a height advantage over most 205-pounders. But
and
his ground game is really good. Unfortunately,
he's got slick jiu-jitsu.
He's just been, ever since he lost the title to
Phil Davis,
he's just been on a downfall. It's been pretty bad.
Yeah, he fought Brett McDermott, won doctor stoppage. Then Vasily choked him out, triangle choke, or triangle.
Yeah,
Vasily. And then he got Nemkov just leg kicked him to death. And
that's this fight, even though it ended in the fourth round with like third round with less than a minute to go, it wasn't even a close fight.
No, it wasn't. He was getting chewed up on the feet. Anytime he got him to the ground, it was scrambled back up quickly. I think there was one real takedown. Nogueira was throwing up beautiful triangle attempts to switch to armbar and trying to move it around, but he was outclassed, man. I think this guy's our next 205-pound champion, to be honest with you.
Do you think so, really?
I think you build him a little bit better, take some time with him. I think he can win a decision out of Ryan Bader. Give him a couple more fights.
Well, Ryan Bader's still got King Mo in front of him, so.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the 205 division in Bellator, where else does he go next?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much.
Phil Davis already, you know, Phil Davis. Yeah, put him there with a really good pressure wrestler like Phil Davis, see what he can do, because he's got good jiu-jitsu as well.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
He's got real good jiu-jitsu, so that's, there we go. Phil Davis, that's his one.
Heather Hardy, unanimous decision victory over Anna Juliton. So both are boxers. So everybody, when this fight was booked, was expecting a stand-up boxing fight in MMA.
Yeah.
It turned into a wrestling clinch fest.
A dirty boxing, dirty wrestling.
Yeah, it wasn't the most entertaining, but Heather Hardy's, you know. No, it's cool, man. Just go ahead and check your phone. It's cool. You know.
Sorry, it was distracting me there.
No, it's cool, man. We're just on video, you know, the number one podcast.
Our boy Shorty was just retweeting something and it caught my eye, bro. That's all.
No, that's cool.
But no, it was a good card for Bellator. I enjoyed watching that last night, along with Shorty keeping his featherweight belt and the Bellator world riding.
Flyweight. Get it right.
Flyweight. But I said feather, didn't I? I should be punched.
Yeah. But no, it was a good weekend of fights. It was a good, well, week of fights, I guess. It was a good night of fights last night. That's for sure. Got to watch them when I got home from work.
Yeah, Polaris week, today.
And Polaris. And
EBI today, Polaris. I never seen anything like that.
EBI is great.
EBI is
great. Next week, though, UFC, man. Tomorrow. Next week. I'm sorry. We're this is Saturday. Jesus.
You mean tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. I love you.
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow. I believe Fox Sports 1. Cowboy Cerrone. Donald Cerrone taking on Yancy Medeiros. How do you see this fight happening?
It's going to stop in the fourth round.
Bye.
Yancy Medeiros going to put Cowboy down.
I don't think it goes that long. I don't trust Cerrone's chin anymore. I don't trust his wear and tear and his battle scars.
His body.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, he's a young man still, but his fighting age is not young at all. And I think Medeiros cracks him. And I think this is over before the second round ends.
It's possible. I'm giving Medeiros some time to get through the main event jitters.
No, that makes sense. That's fine. Yeah.
And I think he's going to start off slow, as where Cerrone's going to start pushing forward. I don't think Cerrone's going to put him away, but once he kind of gets cracked and woken up, he'll start working the body. And Cerrone, as we all know,
does not like that, the body shots.
Anthony Pettis made that very clear, and that has been the key to putting him away. Him and Matt Brown. Matt Brown isn't good on the liver kicks either.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, just think about that. 270 pounders that don't like getting hit in the liver. Why not?
In the co-main event, heavyweight fight, 2 weeks in a row. Derek Lewis makes his return from retirement. He was supposed to fight Fabricio Werdum in his return fight, pulled out, and in stepped his opponent for tomorrow night, Marcin Tybura, who went five rounds, survived on the ground with Fabricio Werdum, which is
looked good.
Yeah, which decent. I mean, he was thoroughly outclassed because there are levels to this shit.
Yes,
but he looked like a solid work in progress, I guess is the way to put it. But he's taking on the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, and I've been very torn on this fight, but I'm starting to think about it more and leaning towards Tybura.
Really?
Yeah, I am. I think.
Explain.
He was able to hang in there with a world-class champion like Fabricio Werdum. He took a lot of hard shots from Andrei Arlovski. Say what you will about Arlovski's chin, but the man can still hit.
He still can throw a bomb.
Yeah, I'm not thinking he's going to knock Derek Lewis out. I think he gets a takedown on Lewis, and I think he taps him out in the second round.
You think he puts Lewis on his back?
Marcin Tybura's jiu-jitsu is legit.
Definitely. Absolutely. Well, he proved legit. That in... Yeah, and being able to stave off Werdum on the ground, he proved that he's legit.
He's only a brown belt. And not to mention, he does train with the famed Jackson Wink, even though they're on a hell of a losing streak. But I think that might have been
USADA broken. I'm not sure. Bitch.
Might have been What's broken. That? I said it might have been broken. I don't remember off the top of my head. Either way,
the losing streak.
I am leaning towards Marcin Tybura.
I'm still thinking Lewis is going to get it done, but I am. At liberty to change my mind between now and tomorrow night.
So everybody, Joe picked Lewis. Make sure to pick Tybura.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing that in the league, man. I've been posting my picks and then
We're going to get to the league before we sign off here.
Jason Stone did that last time and I actually went 8-for-12. So he got screwed.
Yeah, it actually backfired. James Vick, Francisco Trinaldo, really great fight. Trinaldo's a beast. Mm-hmm. His only loss in his last 10 or 11 fights was to Kevin Lee, who fought Tony Ferguson for the interim championship. Yep. Vic is on a roll. Thiago Alves is taking on Curtis Millender. Alves looked great against Patrick Cote in his last fight.
Looked really good against Cote in his last fight.
But let's talk real quick because I don't want to keep taking up more of this beautiful Saturday afternoon. You said you got yard work and
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the opening fight of the main card on Fox Sports 1, the aforementioned, we spoke about him earlier, Mr. Hudson. Super Sage Northcutt taking on Tibal Guti. And Guti just got his first win in the UFC not that long ago by knocking out Andrew Holbrook. It was September of 2017 in Netherlands. And now he's basically being set up to be a showcase fight for Super Sage, who has looked phenomenal, even though it was only one fight. Looked phenomenal since starting to train at Alpha Male.
Yeah, I feel like we had talked about this before, and I'm reiterating things that people heard, but no, they didn't hear them. But
that's true. Yeah, they didn't hear it.
With Sage Northcutt's point karate background, right, the ability to kind of move in and out and to time things, just like you get with Wonder Boy. That in and out kind of movement, he's used that natural ability or learned his entire life ability to time his takedowns. Good, strong, hard, double leg takedown, almost full shoulder like a football tackle. And his striking has always been good, and it's getting better for MMA. But I think him working with the wrestle boxing that he's getting over there at Team Alpha Male, so he's learning how to be a wrestle boxer. He already knows how to be an elite karate striker. So now you're going to carry those things in. Now he's going to have a real mixed bag. Do him right. Guti's a good fight for him. Let's roll him in right again. Let's stop giving him the barbarians of the world.
The mixed bag thing, that's scary for how, like you said, how good he was already at point fighting karate. And now he's training with Alpha Male where he's going to learn wrestling, learn MMA jiu-jitsu because, I mean, let's face it, most of those guys, they know their MMA jiu-jitsu at least.
Very well, yeah.
And he's only 21 years old. Still, I know. He has so much time to just develop. Yeah. I am still on the Sage Northcutt bandwagon as this guy is a future champion. It's not going to come as fast as a lot of people were saying and thinking when he was being superly overly hyped by Dana White in the UFC. But Jesus Christ, this kid is good. He's got so much talent and just natural skills. I mean, you saw his wrestling, his takedown entries, his level changes in his last fight against Michael Quinones.
Yep.
It's just, he's only going to get better. Like this,
I know.
From what I saw from that fight, like compared to his previous fights where he was having issues
against Mickey Gall,
like this is like GSP levels of progression when it comes to wrestling, MMA wrestling. I'm not even joking. That's
I agree, and it's what I like about it is okay. The place where he was least comfortable was on the ground. So what does he go and do? Learn how to fight on the ground.
Yeah,
learn how to
absolutely.
Okay, this is an area I don't want to say like I'm afraid of it, or this is an area I want to steer clear of. Okay, no, I'm going to jump in that water, and that's where I'm going to live. That's the sign of a champion. That's the sign of somebody who truly wants to have better skills, not just be like I'm a striker. I'm going to stand here and strike. I'm going to learn, you know, takedown defense. He goes, nope, I'm not. I'm getting my ass kicked on the ground, proven by Barbarina and Mickey Gall that I don't have what it takes at the UFC level.
Well, to be fair, that was also a welterweight, which is not his natural weight. True.
Correct. So. It was bigger. And the whole thing with Barbarina, he did have strep throat and all that. Besides the point, it was where he looked like he had the least amount of strength. So he goes and jumps right in there. Again, that's what champions do. They don't stay inside their comfort zone. They walk outside their comfort zone.
That's right.
It's what winners do. So yeah, I'm happy for Sage, man. I'm looking forward to this fight, and I'm looking forward to where his career goes.
Yeah, I honestly think he's got it. I mean, everybody's gonna be off the bandwagon now because he had a couple losses at welterweight, but
yeah,
I'm not. I still think he's there, and it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm still high on him.
Yeah, I'm still very high. I'm still on the bandwagon, and he's still going to. Even if he loses this fight, let's be honest, he's still 21 years old, so much time.
Yeah,
so much time. With all the talent he has right now, there's just so much time.
So much time. Don't put him into the top five until he's, you know,
oh, yeah. Take 24 your time with him.
Or something. Like give him a couple, two, 3 years.
Correct. I mean, Brian Barbarina was already a killer. So they should. Yeah. That fight should have never been made. So
yeah. It's because he wasn't a household name and Sage Northcutt started to become one doesn't mean that he's not a badass. You know?
That's like, true. I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
No one knew who Barbarina was, but now they do. So
this has been our first video episode, Joe.
It has been.
It's been fun.
It's been our second video episode, but hopefully this one goes on the air.
Yeah, hopefully this one works. No, this one's getting uploaded regardless. I don't give a fuck. This is getting uploaded.
Even if we have that horrible echo again, thank you.
Don't care. It's going up. I'm not going to. Otherwise, do you want to record Monday night?
No.
Because
I'd rather not.
I'd rather enjoy my night of playing video games and watching Cerrone versus Madero since I can't watch it Sunday. So, yeah, anyways, as everybody can see on the overlay here. Yeah, right? You want to listen to our podcast, catch it on iHeartRadio. It's also available on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Definitely check out our first video episode on YouTube. Definitely, please.
Do it now.
As always, find us at our parent website of W2Mnet.com. Well, actually, it's on Joe's side. So, close enough. You can't see the screen. That's W2Mnet.com. Find us on the website. Listen to every episode. You'll only be able to listen. You won't be able to watch. Hey, if you ever want to talk, chat, anything like that, post about MMA, check out the Facebook group MMA Freaks. I am a moderator there. It's a great group. Got a lot of fighters in
Freaks.
There, including Curtis Blaydes, Josh Emmett, Jose Shorty Torres, all the good people.
All the good ones.
Check out the Garage Brewing Company Cherry Chocolate Stout, as well as the Young's Brewing Company Double Chocolate Stout. Good stuff right there, seen on screen.
Delicious.
You can see on the bottom of the video screen right there, you got our social medias. Joe, why don't you just say it for the people that are not watching the video?
So you can reach me on Twitter at jhud45 on Twitter. Instagram is MMA to the max Joe. And as always, the two was the number two.
Joe, I want to point something out real quick that I found out while researching this. Unless I completely screwed
research.
Up. Let me double check real quick.
All right.
But I'm pretty sure your Twitter is JoeHud45, not JHud. You've been saying JHud this whole time. When I went to build this overlay, it's JoeHud45.
Shows how good I am.
Yeah, that's right. But it does say JoeHud on the overlay. So,
JoeHud45 right about here. JoeHud.
JoeHud45.
That's JoeHud45 on Twitter.
There you go.
Good God, man.
If you want to catch me on Twitter, it's at itsrockrobster. Find me on Instagram at MMAToTheMaxRob. Find the show on Twitter at MMAToTheMaxShow. And as always, visit our Facebook page. You can see it in the bottom corner, facebook.com/MMAToTheMaxPodcast. Boom.
Boom. Video also, show.
YouTube channel, MMAToTheMax.
Yeah. We'll
be sharing it. Follow us on Facebook. Do all the good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been MMA to the Max episode 30, video episode number one. So I think that's all we got, right?
I think that's all we got.
Cool. All right, everybody. Until next time, take care.
See ya.
The previous podcast has been an original W2Mnet.com production. For more great content like this, go to W2Mnet.com for the worlds of wrestling, video games, entertainment, and sports.